to worship and glorify you. Now, Lord, continue to be in the midst of your people, I pray. Be in the words, Lord, in the meditation of my mouth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, normally I'm very, very excited to stand before you. I'm going to have to confess that today I'm not real thrilled. Not because you're here. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that I'm here. I'm just not thrilled that I'm the guy standing here today. And not because it's a hard message. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea what I'm about ready to tell you. I want to show you something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 pages. Where those of you who have been around here for a while, you know this means pack a lunch. 15 pages, all prepared, been worked on for, the last 10 days. I was even sharing with Father Ed over the weekend. We try to encourage each other and talk about when one's going to be speaking, what you talking about, so we kind of bounce it off of each other. And I got done bouncing this all off of Ed, and he looked at me, goes, "Well, that's a good 35 minutes. Okay. Well, I had an hour prepared, so I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna save that for another day. And this is what you get. You get these notes right here for today. Really, the preparation that I was going through, I'm also, according to the schedule, I'm going to be preaching on Pentecost Sunday. And the more I tore into this and the more I developed this, it really, I think, is more appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. But I was inspired by a lot of events of Holy Week and Easter Sunday. And one of the things, I'm just going to do a couple of commercials before I really start. So this is not starting. This is just a couple of commercials. Okay. Wow. Boy, tough. I'm glad I put all those notes down. Tough crowd. If you guys, look, I know that Good Friday is very difficult to make. It's, a lot of businesses aren't closed on Good Friday. We have to work. I literally have to take off one of my paid vacation days to be here on Good Friday. But it's well worth it to me as a priest. I'm not telling you to do that. I am saying if you could come even for your hour of lunch, maybe that day, if that was possible, or you could make it part of your discipline for Holy Week. Good Friday, every year I say this, and every year it rings true. It is my absolute favorite service of the whole year. And every Good Friday, when it's over, I said, that's the best one yet. I have said that for 8 years running, and this Good Friday was no exception to that rule. This was the best one yet, okay? It was incredible. We started off this year for the first time with three laymen, Kevin, John Cunningham, and Greg Looker. And these guys added such a flavor and such an insight to that service that I just can't tell you what it did for me in my personal walk and what it did for me in that service. And then the clergy followed up on their meditations, and each one just built on the next one. It was tremendous. I do believe, I heard, I have not personally seen, I believe they're all online at our website. All the meditations were recorded because we were in our own facility and we could do that this time. I encourage you, take some time, listen to them. They were just really good. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, was tremendous, and I'm with Father Looker. I'm glad we don't have to just do it one day. We get to do it for 50 days in the calendar, and that we can continue to celebrate Easter. And so I'm going to continue celebrating Easter today. But the way we're going to continue to celebrate Easter today is I work with a lot of charismatic, Pentecostal independents, okay? And from diverse backgrounds, but mainly Church of God or Assembly of God. And there's a prevailing mindset that I have run into in this expression of God's church, which I believe they are, okay? But there's a prevailing mindset that Jesus was on a rescue mission. And that he was God's plan B. Which means that somewhere along the line, God did something wrong and had to readjust his plan. Now, when you really start thinking that through, I see the head shaking. No, God didn't do anything wrong. So, our salvation and the celebration of Easter had to be in the beginning. It had to be. Because God, God, we've said this before time and time again. God goes in and out of time. God is not constricted by time. God knew here, he knows there, and he knows out there before we ever get there, been there, or done that. He knows it all. He's interchangeable in time. He is not constrained by time. So that means when God said, "Let there be light," everything that's anything that is anything, was anything, or gonna be anything, all happened because God said. You got to go with me on this. It's huge. It gave me a whole new perspective on the very heart and the very nature of God. Now, I have found one of the numerous isolated cases to prove this. And that's what I'm going to share for you today. We're going to go back to Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we're going to see a foretelling or a foreshadowing of Easter Sunday. We're going to see it in Genesis, almost line by line, action by... Is that exciting? Line by line, action by action. In Genesis? Of Holy Week? Of Easter Sunday? Oh, say it isn't so, Father Scott. Oh, it is. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. I'm really going off script, if you notice. We're not doing any of the readings that were read either. Oh, no. We're going to Genesis chapter 3. And everyone, I am going to assume, especially in this room, is familiar with the story. So after God created Adam and Eve, and it's the fall of man in the garden. The fall of man in the garden. Genesis chapter 3 begins to talk about the fall of man, but also the salvation of man. As God began to already, at that stage of human development, God began to lay out his plan for salvation. And as we look at this, we're going to get to see ourselves in this story. What? Yeah, you're in it. I'm in it. We're all in it. All mankind is in this story, as God is as well. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" We know the exchange. The serpent, Satan, and Eve, the first woman, have this exchange. She questioned God's authority. He questioned God's authority. She thought about it and said she saw the fruit and it was good, so she bit it. Then she brought it to the man and said, "Hey, it's really good." And he bit it and bam. Immediately they knew they were naked. Immediately they knew they were naked. What the writer was trying to tell us there, immediately they were shamed. I have been seen naked before when I didn't want to be seen naked. It's pretty shameful experience. I just got to tell you, it's pretty shameful. You're unclothed. You're not hidden. You're laid bare for the whole world to see. But yet, up until that, they were naked before that. Are you with me? But they had no shame. They were at peace with God. They were at peace with each other. They were at peace with creation. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no nakedness. Or as I really like to say, nakedness. But, I'm sorry, you know me, I just got to get those in there. But as soon as they ate the fruit, they realized they were naked. Naked before their Creator. Undone. Laid bare. Everything that was hidden was now seen. You ever felt that way? Convicted, laid open, laid bare for God Almighty to see. It's an overwhelming. We see it. We see it. I've been there on my knees crying, Lord, I am not worthy. Adam and Eve found themselves in a place of unworthiness, where we find ourselves in life before we accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. When you came to that point in your life, the moment you acknowledged Jesus Christ, what you were acknowledging is that there was nothing good in you. You were laid bare before Lord God Almighty, and you needed a covering because you were naked. Oh, this is going to be good. I can feel it already. This is going to be better than I thought it was going to be. Now, man, in his state, did what we immediately do when we're first confronted with our shortcomings or our nakedness. He blamed somebody else. Don't we do it? Oh, I'm really mad at them. I am not going to forgive them because they did da-da-da-da-da-da. Fill in the blank. All been there, all done that. Right? It's not my fault, it's their fault. God, the woman that you gave me. Now, he doesn't only blame the woman, he blames God for putting him in the position. There have been periods of my life I have blamed God. I have been mad at God. I've been angry with God. And I didn't want to forgive God. Blasphemy? No. Honesty? Yes. Reality for everybody sitting in this room? I'm pretty sure. Life throws things at you. There are some days it just hits you in the gut. It takes every breath out of you. You don't understand what's going on. My God, why have you forsaken me? Echoes of Holy Week. Not only in Genesis, but in our very lives. Let's keep looking. Oh, I brushed over something. I went from their nakedness to our nakedness to blaming somebody else. Adam and Eve, in their own resources, clothed themselves. They made fig leaves. Out of their own resources, they clothed themselves. But as we're going to see later on, the clothes that they made were not adequate. Which says a lot. The things that we do to fix things will never be adequate. Okay. I heard you. We were afraid. We go back and forth. I want to get to this part. You know the story. They're walking in the cool to get God's water. Where are you? Oh, I'm hiding because I'm naked. Who told you I was naked? We go through all that. And then they finally have to confess to God what they did. And they did. Adam blames the woman. Immediately, the woman, with all now the focus on her, he did it. The serpent. I ain't holding that. I'm going to blame somebody else. Just get it off of me. You know, bam, bam. I mean, and then God speaks. And just like every time God speaks, the truth is heard and his word goes forth. Listen to what happens here, because this is what I wanted to get to. The Lord God, this is verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.